The Irish people face years of cutbacks and tax increases in return for fresh capital to shore up banks after the country's parliament approved an EU-IMF bailout package yesterday. Finance Minister Brian Linehan pushed through the 85 billion euro package despite resistance from the main opposition party. Meanwhile, as Christmas approaches, many people in Ireland will be facing financial hardship. Lydia O'Kane spoke to the head of social justice at the St. Vincent de Paul Society, John Mark McCafferty, who told her that they have been inundated with calls for help.
To go back to the events of the budget, and just to ask you, how much has it already had an effect on people? How much has the budget really taken out of people's pockets, especially people who are on the margins?
Sure. Well, starting with people with children, so families, they have all experienced a cut in their child benefit. It's a universal payment, but there's a cut of 10 euro per child for the first and second child, and a cut for 20 euro per child for the third child. That's a particular reduction, a particularly harsh reduction. And in previous years, what had happened was that the government had cut the universal payment, this child benefit payment, but they had augmented, they'd increased other payments for families on social welfare, so that the poorest families, while they were being taken from by one hand, they were given by another. In Budget 2011, in this year's budget, that didn't happen. And so those who are most at risk of poverty, among those are families, because they're not receiving an increase or any kind of protection with regard to the child income supports. They're getting cuts, and quite substantial cuts per week for those children, those families. And the other area of concern, of which there are a number, is the fact that those on the minimum wage, they are having their incomes cut by 1 euro an hour. And so if you're working a 40-hour week, that's obviously, that's 1 euro, that's 40 euro for the week. It's over 2,000 euro per year. And it's not just the fact that they're getting their minimum wage cut. It's also the fact that they're now in the tax, but they're now paying tax in a way that they weren't before. The government has come up with what they're calling a universal social charge. So it's an addition to the income tax. But the difference is that in coming up with this universal social charge, they're bringing a lot more, in fact, almost all of the lower wage earners into paying tax. And it could be quite substantial tax for the lower wage earners, particularly those on or around the minimum wage. So we're seeing this budget as an attack on low-wage families in particular. Add to that the fact that those who have been on social welfare are having their incomes cut. That's people on the working age payments. They're seeing those cut by between 8 and 10 euro per week. So really we're seeing a considerable erosion in the amount of money available to people who are already poor, who are already struggling, whether they were on social welfare or whether they were in work but on low pay. And in particular, it's bad news for children and children who are already in poverty, because their parents now have far less money to live on. And this is all as a result of the budget choices of the current government.
What is the difference between this year and last year? Because it was grim enough last year. So is it even worse this year with regard to what you're doing and with regard to the to society as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's worse for a number of reasons. Firstly, that last year, those people who may have lost their jobs, they were maybe still working out their gnosis, or they had you know, a redundancy payment that they could budget and they could spend over a period of time. And they had kind of some of the resources of friends and family at hand. As people stay longer in unemployment, they may have spent any lump sum redundancy payment that they have. They may be coming towards the end of the moratorium on, or rather, on their kind of the period of time, a grace period that they may be currently enjoying with the bank that's been lending them their mortgage. if they've been in trouble with paying of their mortgage through things like redundancy or reduction in hours. You know, for a couple of years there, a good number of people who were struggling with their mortgage were enjoying, or at least had the reprieve of a moratorium on the full payment of their mortgage. That is now coming to an end because the two-year agreement with some of the banks is coming towards an end. And we're finding that families will be struggling to make ends meet as a result of that. And there are a number of other things. Energy costs in Ireland are very, very high compared to most other European countries. And while there's been increased competition and a reduction in some of the charges by the introduction of new providers, we've seen increases imposed by the regulator on the price of electricity. We've also seen the imposition of a carbon tax, which we're not opposed to in principle, but the impact of that was supposed to be lessened, and the burden of that was supposed to be reduced by government intervention. They had promised that when they brought in a carbon tax, which they did earlier this year, that they would reduce the kind of the burden on poorer households by bringing in some kind of cash compensation for, say, the poorest 20% or poorest 30% of households. Now, they procrastinated on that issue throughout the year, and then, having promised that they would protect the most vulnerable households, in November they said, do you know what, we're not going to do anything in relation to protecting those households. They're going to pay the full effect of the carbon tax. And not only that, because of the new IMF EU framework deal to bail out Ireland, we're going to double the amount of carbon tax that people will pay over the next couple of years. So we've seen substantial increases in the cost of electricity and gas because of the imposition of the carbon tax. And that's a big concern for us, given that people spend in Ireland a big proportion of their income on heating their houses. And that's only going to get worse. And if you have a diminishing household income, but increased prices for energy and high energy prices anyway, and a situation where many of the houses are quite energy inefficient, then people are spending a lot of money. Why is that an issue for us? It's an issue because we spent last year as a charity, we spent almost $6 million last year paying energy bills for people to try and stave off disconnections from the electricity and gas grids for poor households. And we also provided and paid for a lot of solid fuel for older people, for rural people. And we realised that one of the key triggers for poverty is in the area of energy and fuel, and it's one of our key concerns. And government isn't doing enough to tackle that, in our view.
Just regarding the Vincent de Paul itself, is it seeing an increase in phone calls from people who can't cope, an increase in having to deal with people who maybe can't pay their mortgage, people ringing up for help? Have you seen quite an explosion of people needing help this year?
Yeah, we've seen sustained increases in the number of calls coming to our regional offices. In some cases, it's been an increase of 35% year on year in certain regions, especially the urban regions. And I can say right now that our Dublin region really is seeing unprecedented level of calls to its centre, to its reception, in terms of phone calls, because people are scared for the future. They are finding it hard to cope, and they're really struggling with their budgets, whether it's to put food on the table, to heat and light their homes, and to make Christmas, as dignified and as fun filled for the children as possible. They do need to spend money on their children to honour Christmas for the children, to buy presents and to make sure that there's enough food on the table, and that they do the festivities justice. So they're all kind of conspiring to make the current situation for low income households and low income families really quite challenging. People talk about the fact that the social welfare payments and other payments are higher by European standards, but people have to take into account the fact that, well, two things. The cost of living in Ireland is very high. especially relative to southern European countries, and it's high relative to most European countries. And also that many people don't enjoy the same benefits in terms of access to services and free access to services like education and health and housing in the way that other people enjoy those access to services in mainland Europe, certainly kind of northern Europe. So we're seeing a situation whereby, yes, cuts had to be made over the next number of years because of the unprecedented financial situation that we find ourselves in. But that those cuts have fallen, certainly for budget 2011, disproportionately on low-income people and low-income families and the Society of Simmons de Paul that works day in, day out in local communities with families and with individuals. See through our own work on the ground that it's the people with the least that are going to be paying most, either through increased taxes through this universal social charge or through reductions in social welfare or through high energy costs or through other costs of living. And that's a big challenge for Irish society, but it's also poses a big question for the Society of St Vincent de Paul. Can we cope? Are the Irish general public going to be as generous as they have been in previous years in supporting our Christmas appeal in raising funds? Will we have sufficient volunteers to respond to the needs that are out there across the country, both north and south? And can we sustain that level of support, particularly when the income supports and some of the services are being taken away from the most vulnerable people at this time? So that's what we're currently trying to deal with, trying to plan for. So we're asking people, we're asking the Irish population to be, if they are in a position to give, to be as generous as they can at this time of our Christmas appeal. And also we're asking people to consider for the longer term if they can give something back in terms of their own citizenship, to give some of their time as volunteers for the longer term, to assist with us to try and tackle the problems that people have in terms of making ends meet, but also to try and make Ireland a more just and caring society. And that's what we're tasked with. That's what we're trying to do this Christmas, and that's what we try to do every Christmas and across the year, as we try to assist both families and individuals to move out of poverty, to become more self-sufficient through support with education, grants, and other interventions, and to try and make poverty poverty history, I suppose, in Ireland for good.
I wanted to ask you about your appeal. I mean, many charities have different ways of appealing and asking the general public to give generously, and Christmas is certainly traditionally a time for giving as well as receiving. Is there anything in particular that the Vincent de Paul will be focusing on this year, any particular type of appeal that you'll be doing?
Well, we've had a number of appeals in the run-up to Christmas, and most of the specific, if you like, non-monetary appeals have kind of ended now. There was an appeal for toys. There was also kind of a bag-packing initiative at lots of the supermarkets around the country, and there are other individual initiatives at the regional level. At this stage, as we run up to the final days before Christmas, we're urging people, if they want to donate, the best thing is to go to our website and to donate. The best thing at this stage is kind of monetary donations to assist with the, if you like, the cash assistance and the cash support for families, for individuals in local communities across Ireland throughout the year. So that's really what we're asking people to do, to think about those people who are in need. The most practical way is at this stage to donate on our website, and the website is www.svp.ie, and it's very easy to donate there. The other option is to phone the society. The number, it's a Dublin number, and if you're phoning inside the Republic, it's 01 838 6990. That's 01-838-6990. But all financial donations are warmly accepted, and they will be put to good use in local communities to fight poverty.
Obviously, Christmas is a very difficult time for people who don't have very much. It's a hardship, but there's also after Christmas. It's not just Christmas. It's into the future, and Ireland's crisis is by no means over. So it's going to take quite a long time when you consider this bailout, when you consider what's happening in the country for many people and for the St. Vincent de Paul. It's going to be quite stretching, I would imagine, for the foreseeable future.
Yes, I mean, the recession really took hold in Ireland back in 2008, and at the time we hoped it would, you know, take a year or two for us to come out of it. We're now getting into 2011, and because of the bailout that was required by the IMF and the EU, and because our finances are in such bad shape due to the behaviour of our banks, the very unethical behaviour of our banks, and because we overstretched ourselves as a society, we have a legacy now of austerity measures ranging from the last couple of years right through till 2014, 2015 at the very least. We're going to see continued dismantling, I think, of our welfare system through sustained attacks on our social welfare rates. I think we could see, worryingly, we could see further erosion of our national minimum wage over the next number of years. We'll probably see an increase in the value-added tax, the VAT, on items, and that hits the poorest people most because it's a stealth tax. It's not a tax on wealth. It's a tax on consumption of everyday items. And the poorest people spend all of their money in the local economy on everyday items, and they'll be paying on the double if they, you know, are on the minimum wage. Their minimum wage is being cut. They're then going to be paying more in terms of taxes through this universal social charge, and then whatever's left, they're going to be paying more in the purchasing of goods and services through increased VAT over the next number of years. And if you add to that the fact that there are other charges I've mentioned, energy costs being exceptionally high in Ireland, and the fact that there will be a dismantling as well, which is particularly worrying, of services, public services, that people will be paying more for existing services. We imagine because of the IMF involvement, there will be a greater privatisation of services, so greater increase in costs and new charges for existing services. We imagine people having to use private care more, using private health system more, and we see things like we envisage that things like education budgets will be cut, so people will have to have recourse to paying more or paying for the first time for certain educational interventions. It's a real pity because the Republic hasn't seen much of a kind of a public service, a free universal public service, the way that Scandinavia enjoys, the way that the Netherlands or Germany or even to some extent the UK enjoys. And it's only in the last 10 years that was beginning to take shape through, you know, enhanced education services, enhanced health services, slightly improved public transport, and yet there were still huge gaps there, very, very poor, you know, social housing services and that kind of thing in terms of levels of provision. Now, worryingly, we believe we're going to see a lot of that either dismantled or there will be new or increased charges, as I've mentioned, to try and access many of the things that many other people in Europe take for granted in terms of public services. So we'll have the double whammy of less money in people's pockets and also a diminution and erosion of access to public services that really enhance, you know, that would otherwise enhance the quality of a life that people, especially the lowest income people and the most vulnerable people, will be going without. And that's in the context of rising child poverty and very high levels of poverty among lone parent families. And that's a big, big worry for the society because the largest group that we assist are lone parents. And we will see their incomes dropping and dropping much further, and that will impact on their poverty, but also on the poverty of their children. And that's a huge concern for us.